Amen. To God be the glory for great things He has done. I am grateful to be in His presence one more time. So much is happening around the world. Someone said that we are not promised if we will ever get back home. We just praise God for life, praise Him for strength, that we are counted amongst the living. I want to use this opportunity to say thank you to Pastor Nathan and his wife. Bonin and I were both students at the Liberia Baptist Theological Seminary, and through Bonin I got to know Nathan, but then they were not married, and it has been an honor. And what struck me most was the time, you know, Liberia had a very terrible health disaster. And this day when I checked my Facebook, I received a message from Bonin. And that was about 10 months ago. And she expressed concern about the situation and reminded me that we are praying for Liberia. I was struck, but I was fulfilled to know that my friends around the world are praying for Liberia. And we want to praise God that the situation in Liberia is over and things have restored to normality. And your prayers and the prayers of other faithful Christians around the world was fair. I would say thank you so much. I would be remiss if I don't recognize the presence of my wife. She's a very, very good person. The Bible says, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and he shall obtain favor. So, love her to death. I love her to death. And that's a vow that we have made. So it's good to be here today and to be worshiping with you. Like a pastor said, I'm from Liberia and I'm honored to be here. Pastor Nathan, thank you so much for this blessed opportunity to share God's word. Today, I would like to share with you on a theme that I love so much. I have preached this message over and over again, and every time I search this passage, God speaks in new ways, in new ways. And this is one of my sermons because it is also my testimony. Amen. And I will share with you today on the theme, a second chance. As somebody may also say, another chance. It's a second chance. I want you to kindly pray with me. Father, we thank you, for this is the day that you have made. We've come to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for strength. We thank you for every good thing that you have in store for us. I pray, Spirit of the Living God, that even as we proclaim your word today, your people will be blessed and hearts will be lifted. Let the words of my mouth and the collective meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is a very important day in Liberia. We are celebrating 168th Independence Day. And Liberia is Africa's oldest independent nation. It was established by free slaves from America. And when they got to Liberia, they established first the Providence Baptist Church, where I serve, and before the nation. So Providence, like your pastor said, is the oldest church in Liberia. It was established in 1821. And the church was established years before the nation gained her independence. So I want you to join me and join the people of Liberia to wish us a happy and blessed Independence Day. A second chance. Maybe Bonnie have listened to the story. I know she's not tired. Nathan has listened to the story before. God has been a blessing to my life and my ministry. At about 16 years, I was drawn to the Providence Baptist Church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And since then, I have worked in the church. I serve as sexton up to the role of youth pastor. Following my graduation from the seminary, the Baptist Theological Seminary, I had an opportunity to serve at my church on a voluntary basis. And while serving, God provided the opportunity to attend the Princeton Theological Seminary. And through the gracious help of Dr. Cleophas J. LaRue, he visited Liberia and saw the need that obtained a graduate degree. And he introduced me to Princeton, and I went on the website, did the application, and submitted all of the documents. And I was accepted and given full scholarship to come. Just come. We'll take care of you. My country, the state of third-world country, so I applied for visa at the United States Embassy. And I was hopeful that I was going to be granted the visa. But when I appeared, the counselor said to me, the visa counselor said to me, you are not qualified for the visa to the United States. I said, why? He said, well, you can reapply, but we want to believe that you are not qualified. And I was touched. I reapplied a few weeks after. And this time, it was heartbroken. And he said to me, I really don't want to believe that you are a minister of the gospel. Probably in his understanding, I was faking my calling. He said, I think you need to consider something else to do, because I will not afford you the opportunity to go to the United States. I don't think in my understanding that you are ready or you meet the standards. I know in ministry, in Christianity, there are times in life that we need to ask God some hard questions. It doesn't matter your spirituality, how long you've been in the church. There are some moments in life that you can't find God in the midst of the situation. So I was troubled and talked to God. And Dr. LaRue said, "We will get you over to the United States." He spoke with Dr. David Jefferson, one of the pastors in Liberia. Jefferson, but then had not seen me. He said he was touched when the name Thomas Wilson was called. So he wanted to work on the case. Dr. Jefferson spoke with Congressman Payne, who was the chairperson on education then. He has passed. And Congressman Payne was able to write a communication directly to the embassy that we want to petition you to give this young man a visa to the United States. So I had to appear the third time, and I appear. And the counselor, the one who interviewed me, was the chairman of the section. So I was appearing before the leader. But this time around, he granted me the visa. He looked straight into my eyes and said, "I cannot deal with you. I don't know why, but my colleague would handle the situation." But the conclusion of the matter is that God granted me the opportunity to be here. When I look over the story, I made it because of another chance. And this is how life is. We all are situated here today because somebody gave us another chance. I don't know who that person may have been, but mama gave you another chance. Daddy gave us another chance. A neighbor was able to pray for us. A friend in college was a support for us. The church was able to provide an opportunity to transform our lives. So we all are seated here today, not because of what we have done, but what God has done through others to give us the opportunity to be alive today. So we all stand on the foundation of a second chance. We made mistakes in life. Probably the first paper you wrote in college or in high school was not the best paper. Your teacher was able to critique you, work with you, and today you are able to write a paper on your own. So we are all grateful to God for the opportunity. There are others who did not wake up this morning. There are others who went out and they were even killed. But God thought it wise to keep us in the land of the living for the purpose and for the time. His grace has given us a second chance. And this is the story that I want to zoom in today. Here we see Paul and John Mark and Silas. They were all about to take on the second missionary journey. Paul, Silas, John Mark, and Barnabas. God has called and commissioned them to do the work. On the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas took along John Mark, who was a young man. But on the first missionary journey, John Mark left. We have no clue what happened in Acts. Probably he was homesick. You know, he was mama's baby, mama's boy. He needed to come home. He was in dire need of mama's love. Or maybe the mission trip was so tough. Like we sat in Sunday school today, one of our sisters shared that they went to Taiwan. And some point in time, they encountered mosquito. I believe she missed home. And probably John Mark has similar situation. So he could not endure the suffering on the mission trip. So he needed a retreat. But John Mark deserted them. That was the word the Bible used. Now they were about to take on the second missionary journey in Acts chapter 15, beginning at verses 36 to 41. And John Mark appeared. Paul was determined, but he said to Barnabas, "We will not take John Mark." And Barnabas said, "No." Even though John Mark deserted us on the first missionary journey, but I want us to take John Mark with us. And Paul said no. But Barnabas was determined to give John Mark a second chance. It was the same Barnabas who gave Paul a second chance when Paul persecuted Christians, when he was neglected, when he was forsaken. John Mark fetched him, brought him to the church in Antioch. The church was able to pray for him and drop all of the charges. You know, John Mark in the book of Acts was able to sell his property. Barnabas was able to sell his property and brought the proceeds to support the ministry of the church. So the nature of Barnabas was someone that was always on the mission to give people a second chance. So when John Mark looked, when Barnabas looked at John Mark, he did not see the fault of John Mark. He looked beyond the fault of John Mark and saw a need, that I need to do something to help John Mark get on course. But Paul was not concerned about developing this man at this point. You know, Paul was a zealot. He was so moved about ministry. We need to do this. We need to do that. We need to do that. And he was able to miss out on people. This is the essence of real ministry. Ministry is not about the degrees we earn. Ministry is not about the buildings we build. Ministry is not about the bank account. Ministry is not about the prestige. Ministry is all about people. It's about people. It's not the people where God has called us. After all is said and done, what are we doing to help somebody so that our living cannot be in vain? Some of us have the opportunity to be in the dormitory of other people from diverse cultural backgrounds. What are we doing to impact the lives in our community, in the world? I was so delighted when the pastor said, our team is on a missionary trip, and I want the team to be back so that you can be a blessing. I believe God sent the team out not because of to show out that they are from America or from they have the money, but because they want for people to be blessed, that the gospel must have an impact on the life of people. So ministry is about people. So Barnabas was able to look beyond the fault of John Mark and decided to give him another chance. So Barnabas backed off and said to Paul, you know, if John Mark will not go on this journey, I will not go, because I cannot forsake a young man who has wronged us. Barnabas took with him John Mark. We have no understanding of how long it took, but it took some time, a relatively long period of time. Probably it was 3 years or 3 days, because the number 3 in the Bible is always a number of preparation. God will always use a number. Whenever you hear three in the Bible, it's a number of what? Preparation. When God was about to call to prepare Samuel, he called out how many times? Three times. Samuel, Samuel. And Eli said, God is calling you. When God was about to use Jonah, how many times did Jonah stay in the fish stomach? 3 days. When God was about to use Nehemiah to build the broken walls of Jerusalem, how many times he went around the world? 3 times. Jesus took 3 years to prepare his disciples for ministry. He took 3 days in the tomb and resurrected. So the number three is always a number of preparation. So probably it took 3 years or it took 3 days. But the short of the matter is, after the preparation, John Mark made a comeback. You may never know what God can do with a life that has been broken, that has been neglected. All God wants us to do is to be available, to be used as a vessel through whom he will impact. When we are with him, God will do the rest. It is not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the what? The Spirit of the Lord. Let us just avail ourselves and give God the opportunity to use us. There is nothing that God cannot do once we tell him that we want to do it. John Mark made a comeback. In 2 Timothy chapter 4:11, if you read 2 Timothy 4:11, 2 Timothy 4:11, you could note that. What did Paul say about John Mark at the end of his journey? Paul is now writing to the church. He said that, I'm in prison and everyone has forsook me. I have nobody to depend on. I want you to send me John Mark. John Mark is useful to my ministry. You see what God can do? There was the same Paul who said, no, we were not given a second chance. But it took Barnabas to work on John Mark. And at the end of Paul's ministry, he was able to say to the church, John Mark has become profitable to my ministry. John Mark became profitable because somebody gave him a second chance. John Mark did not stop there. John Mark became Peter's personal companion. When Peter visited Rome and was preaching the gospel, John Mark was Peter's secretary. He wrote every word that Peter preached about Jesus Christ, about the life, ministry, and burial of Jesus Christ. When John Mark returned to Cyprus, he compiled everything that he listened to Peter preach about or teach about Jesus Christ. He compiled a book. And today we are so blessed as a church to read that book over and over and again. And that book has become the gospel, a calling to St. Mark. You see what God can do? And because of that gospel, millions of people around the world have come to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and personal Savior, because somebody was able to give John Mark a second chance. John Mark did not stop there. He visited Africa, Egypt, Alexandria, and according to the Coptic Church history, John Mark was the first missionary to Egypt.
And because of the work of John Mark, the mark of Christianity is still in Egypt today. When you hear about the Coptic Church, the Coptic Church came about because of the ministry of John Mark. John Mark became useful, not just to Paul. He became useful, not just regarding the writing of the gospel according to St. Mark, but John Mark became a personal missionary. You may never know what God can do in giving somebody a second chance. All we need to do as a church, as a people, is to avail ourselves to be used by God. Somebody said it was John Maxwell in his book, Developing the Leader Within You. He said, all of the degrees we receive will one day be destroyed. The monuments that we build will crumble. The trophies that we receive will corrode. But what we do for others will make a lasting impact on our world. And I believe Barnabas was never heard about after Acts chapter 15. A lot was not said about Barnabas, but John Mark took center stage. And that's the essence of ministry. It is not about our names, it's not about what we have done. Take the backstage, and that God uses you to impact the lives of others. And only if we can do that, our living will not be in vain. We will be remembered by the works that we have done to impact the lives of other people. So my word to this church is, let us continue. The mission never works, whether it is in Thailand, whether it is in Liberia, whether it is in Africa, whether it is in Philadelphia. Continue to do what God has called you to do. Because as you go, the blessings of God will go with you, and lives will be blessed, and kingdoms and structures will be converted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I don't know how I want to be remembered, because I'm still young and I'm still preaching. But there will come a time that the voice will not be strong enough to preach. The strength will be depleted. My body will be feeble. I will be remembered by the lives that I have touched. I don't want to be remembered by names. And let God be able to say to each and every one of us that, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not Thomas Wilson, not the deacon, not the Baptist, not the Methodist, but God is looking for servants. People that will take on ministry. Because ministry is about people. And I believe that heaven will be a place of rejoicing. That's my conviction. And I hold this conviction seriously. That heaven will be a place of rejoicing for the church, for the body of Jesus Christ. As you minister, you may not know, you may not have an understanding of the lives that you have touched, the gains that you have made for Jesus Christ. But when we all gather together in heaven, when all is said and done, I still believe that heaven will be a place of rejoicing. I want somebody in heaven to walk up to you as a church or as a pastor. Somebody should walk up to you as a member of this congregation A friend of yours in college, in high school, in secondary school, should be able to walk to you and say, I just stopped by to say thank you. It was because of you that I made it to heaven. Your prayer, the mission work, your support, your preaching, your thinking. I walk in the church today and I see young people. In Liberia, you don't have, in most countries, you don't have young people of such. I was greeted at the door by a young man, walking and young people taking over ministry. Continue what you are doing. Because as you do these things, you will bless lives. And the lives that you bless will multiply. And there is a star. There's a reward that God will give you. And remember the questions that God will ask. That when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I needed you the most, were you there? I don't know about you today, but I'm living because God has given me a second chance. There should be something, or someone, or some situation that is stopping you from releasing the potential that God has placed within you. Probably in self-esteem, the inability to accomplish your dream and your vision, it seems impossible. But I just want to introduce to all of us, we know him, that Jesus Christ is our second chance. He was crucified on the cross for our sins. He was buried. Early Sunday morning, he arose. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for all of us. I don't know what you are going through today, but if you don't have a friend, if there is nobody to share that feelings with, I want you to know that God is your advocate. He's listening. See Jesus as your second chance. I'm not a good singer, but in Sunday school we used to sing this song way back. And I think I can remember the wording very clear. And it says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayers. Oh, what peace we'd often forfeit. What needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He is our second chance. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the time. We thank you for the strength. We thank you for these young people. Thank you for our mothers, our fathers who have gathered to listen to your word today. We thank you, Lord, that since the cross, you have always been our second chance. You have never left us. You have never forsaken us. We thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that somebody has been in power. Someone has come to the realization that with God, all things are possible. We thank you for what you have continued to do. Dear, bless your word and bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.